Good morning. I hope you have all enjoyed a time to take the principles revealed in the Divine Life Seminar and let them gel in your consciousness. Work with them. It doesn't matter which one. You can work with them in order or out of order. The point is that you work with them until you catch a glimpse of the higher consciousness. In the infinite way, we are given the message of metaphysics in which we apply principles with the hope of changing forms out here. We hope for better supply or more harmony in our relationships or a better sense of health. And that's okay. That's perfectly fine. That's the metaphysics. But after we are here a while, we begin to hear something called the mysticism, the mystical part of the infinite way. We hear about rising higher, rising out of metaphysics into mysticism. We hear about Joel Goldsmith making it his mission to lift the students out of metaphysics into the mystical way, the infinite way. And if you are one of those students that finds yourself, well, he puts it this way in one of his books. He says you find that the principles no longer work or no longer work as they once did. And so you look for answers. You return and you discover the infinite way was never given to us so that we might improve our humanhood. That's just the trick that got us started. That's just the attraction that brought us in. But some of us are ready to go farther, and we're quite tired of that approach. And so we find there's a mystical message, and there's a way to rise into mystical consciousness. In fact, there's several chapters on such things as rising to mystical consciousness in prayer and treatment. And if you are ready for this, I suggest that you read those chapters and study them. Study them a paragraph at a time. See if there's a principle there that you are already practicing or have not yet seen and need to practice. All of this, well, he tells us over and over again that the real goal of the infinite way is so that you may attain God consciousness, and then that God consciousness will outpicture itself. And so instead of a human being living a life in duality, sometimes good but mostly evil, you will rise up into a new life, a divine life, a life as the Son of the living God, a life that lives by the Word. The Word made flesh. And so, these are the principles that will help us to rise into that mystical consciousness. And I have been looking at them for several years, and I have been working with them. And I have been rising into that mystical consciousness. Sometimes while in a deep meditation, sometimes while talking to you, and sometimes while just driving down the road on the way to the store to buy some groceries or running some errands. And one of those principles that has come to me this morning, I've known for quite a while, but it was never put into words quite this way. And so what came to me this morning is this. When you have the conscious awareness, when you have the consciousness of omnipresence, you no longer need to pray. When you have the awareness, you don't need to pray. Now, years and years and years and years ago, in my withinness, I heard the words, God needs no prayer, God already is. Man needs prayer in order to let God is. And I came to practice that principle. I came to see that God is. God omnipresence is, or Christ omnipresence is. And so Christ doesn't need me to say, Dear God, flow out and form my supply. Because that would mean that a little finite speck could move the infinite. And such a concept is really quite ridiculous. If you've seen views of Earth generated by a computer, if you've seen views of Earth, or if you've seen views from the cameras that they've sent out into space, way out at the edge of the galaxy, taking a picture of the sun and the planets, and you see Earth as a little dot, then you recognize that each person is even a very, very tiny dot in that dot. And then you realize that that galaxy is a dot in the universe, the infinite universe. You can kind of see that believing that that little dot within a dot within a dot, that little micro dot, could not possibly influence the infinite. Well, then, that causes you to think, well, if I can't influence the infinite, what am I going to do? If my prayer doesn't influence God, why am I praying? And when you wrestle with those things, then the answers come. And the answer that came to me was that man needs prayer only to let God is. In other words, by praying, it lifts me into a state of stillness where I can let God is. God is ising now, but I'm not aware of it if I'm praying a lot of words. However, praying a lot of words can get me to the place where I stop praying. And I listen. I stop all those words, but the words remind me to listen. I take words inside, such as, Be still and know, I am God. I come in a moment. Ye think not. Take no thought. I am the way. Be not afraid. It is I. I take those words only so that I can attain a stillness, a freedom from words and thoughts. Slowly, gradually, I begin spending time within without thought. I begin to receive impartations from Christ, from the Father within, from consciousness, from God consciousness. And I'm able to have inner realizations, glimpses of the infinite, of the omnipresent, of omnipresence itself. Then I understand these mystical statements. Ah, yes, now I see. You're right, God is. And God doesn't need my prayer. I can't influence God. But I need prayer in order to remind myself to be still and become aware of God ising. You see? And so this morning's meditation, what came was, when you have the awareness, you don't need prayer. Joel's told us this so many times, and we've maybe not seen it directly. He hinted at it when he said, once you know that 12 times 12 is 144, you just know it. You don't have to think about it. Once you know that 2 times 2 is 4, if you see it on a chalkboard somewhere that says 2 times 2 is 5, he says, you just smile because you know. You know, you don't have to go back to the books and study. You don't have to pray. You know, your consciousness is the answer. Your awareness is God. I'm going to repeat that. That sounds almost sacrilegious, doesn't it? Your awareness is God. Not your awareness of people, places, and things. The atomic world. This world. No. The awareness that comes when your concepts stop. When you stop. When you listen. The awareness of omnipresence. When you have the awareness of omnipresence, there's no need to pray. Awareness. When you have awareness, when you have the consciousness of omnipresence, there's no need to pray. And so Joel says that eventually we are confronted with a problem and we meet it just with a smile. What is he saying there? He's saying when you have the conscious awareness, you no longer need to pray or meditate. The only reason for meditation, and we all need it, is to bring us to the conscious awareness. But that conscious awareness begins to take over. There's an exact point, he said, when it takes over and starts living you. That's the point when you walk into a room and error flees because you bring the light with you. Now, Jesus gave us that, or the person taking notes and watching Jesus, watching this consciousness, gave us that in the story about Lazarus. Because he says, they took away the stone from the place where the dead was buried. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. And I knew that thou hearest me always, but because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. And he cried in a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he that was dead came forth. Now you see, there's Jesus saying, all I have to do is lift up my eyes into the awareness of omnipresence. I don't have to pray. I no longer have to pray. But I prayed because of the people standing around, so they might believe. Jesus has reached that place where he can walk into a room and the darkness flees away. Because his awareness, his consciousness, is now the light. Some of you know what I'm talking about. We talk plenty of times about being in meditation and reaching that place of stillness where there's no words and no thoughts and coming into the conscious awareness, catching a glimpse of omnipresence. you're aware of it, and you rest back, and there's a feeling of release. Ah, yes, I am home in thee, and thou in me, and we are one. And you're communing with omnipresence. And then you get up, you have some errands to run, you drive down to Walmart or wherever store you're going to in your part of the world, and you're in this place of synchronicity. You come, you look, and there's a parking place right in front. You walk in, exactly what you needed is on the shelf. You walk up to the long lines, and the person in front of you says, go ahead, you only have one item. And so does the next person. Before you know it, you're checking out. Why, thank you. There's a feeling of gratitude. You're in that space of synchronicity. The universe is reflecting that. You're in the place of conscious awareness forming itself as your living experience. What is there to pray? Who is there to pray? Who is there to pray to? You have the awareness, and awareness is living itself. As in heaven, so on earth, the two are now one. It's a beautiful place to be. If you've experienced it, you know. You know. It's a beautiful place to be. Why? Because it's the kingdom of heaven. It's a new heaven and a new earth. And it operates through awareness. And awareness does not need to pray. And so the goal is for conscious awareness of the living omnipresence. When you have that, my dear friends, you no longer need to pray. You can just smile. Be grateful for the conscious awareness of that living omnipresence. Your presence. One presence. God presence. And so Jesus had that. He had that conscious awareness, and he did not have to pray. And he says here, I prayed only for the people standing around, so they might believe that this works. Now, more and more and more, I don't know about you, I am becoming aware that we have two choices. We can let mind form itself as our experience, and that's the temple made by hands, the temple made by mind, by good and evil, and that's what we'll experience. Sometimes good, but mostly evil, and mostly trying to change the evil into the good, and it's a lifelong battle. We are letting the tree of knowledge of good and evil form itself. We are letting the concepts, the universal concepts of a world, of this world, we are letting that world mind form itself. And that's what the second chapter of Genesis is all about. Moses hid it so well, and yet for those that have the eyes, you can see. He begins with, these are the generations of the heavens, plural, and the earth, when they were created, in the day the Lord God made the earth and the heavens. You see, that's the second chapter. The first chapter of Genesis is consciousness forming itself. It's the very thing that Joel is lifting us up into, the mystical. But Genesis 2 is when world mind forms itself, when the knowledge of the tree of good and evil, or the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, forms itself. when world mind, universal concept. So that's one choice. And it is said that the Lord God, this is world mind, universal concepts, caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept. And it does not say in the rest of Genesis, it never says, and Adam awakened. We get all the way down into the New Testament to where the living Christ consciousness, the conscious Jesus Christ, who had the conscious awareness of omnipresence, says to all of us, awake, thou that sleepest. Because you're dreaming. Now, I'm going to read you something. Let me pause this and go get the book I was looking at this morning. This is from the excellent books put out by Eye Level Publishing, and it is called A Message for the Ages, and the chapter is called Material Sense of Demonstration or Unfoldment of Grace, and those are the two choices that we're speaking about. And he says, we have had thousands of years of trying to use the power of an unknown God to improve this world. And that would be the fellow that prays, right, to the infinite to try to influence it. Or the lady that tries to influence God on her behalf. If someone says to us, it will not work, and that we have to leave the human world for my kingdom, our response is, oh, that's too nebulous. How will I even know what I'll find when I get there? Here, he says, is the dividing line between all metaphysics and mysticism. And now mysticism, we understand, is rising up into that higher consciousness, into awareness. And he says, metaphysics is turning to a power to improve the human estate. Mysticism is leaving behind the human estate, even if it is good, and trying to pierce the veil that sees into that other universe called my kingdom. That is the goal we are seeking, the awareness of my kingdom. All right, so you can see that we've used this example over and over and over. Two people sitting on a bus bench, one of them is living in my kingdom, and one of them is living in this world. What is the difference? Why is it that one person can walk through an epidemic or a downturn in the financial world and come out smelling like roses? Nothing touches them. And another person is not only sick, but they lose all their money in the financial collapse. It is because one person is living by mind formed, which is the belief in good and evil, concepts formed, the mind, the world mind, the mind that believes in a world of good and evil, forming itself over and over, and the other is standing in the kingdom, here and now, bearing witness to omnipresence, to a God that is, not even needing any prayer. I don't need any prayer. I might pray for you standing around so you can see that it's the Father that doeth the works, but I don't need to pray. I have the awareness. I have God consciousness, and it is living itself. I live as a beholder. So, furthermore, in this chapter, he says, we have learned to meditate not for the purpose of healing or employing a person, but for the purpose of catching a glimpse of my kingdom. It is the glimpse that appears. It appears as healing. It's the awareness of omnipresence that forms itself, always harmoniously. So, therefore, let us not be grateful for the healing. Don't be grateful that your supply has increased. Don't be grateful that your pain has disappeared. Don't be grateful that your relationships are harmonious and peaceful. The gratitude must be that the kingdom of God has been realized on earth. We have caught a glimpse of the fourth dimensional realm. We have been lifted up into his presence. Its presence. The presence. Gratitude should always be that we have witnessed the kingdom of God on earth as it is in heaven. So it is, he says. We are meeting the appearances and effects of material sense, dealing with the attainment of the kingdom of God on earth. We are seeking the kingdom of God. Now there's a sentence here that really got me this morning. Let's see if I can find it. We meditate not for a healing. We meditate for the purpose of catching a glimpse of my kingdom. We do not have health and sickness, life and death, abundance and lack. We have spiritual grace. So, we are meeting the appearances and effects of material sense by an attainment of the kingdom of God on earth. All right, but it must be the awareness. Remember, to the point of realization? When we hear the word of God and food, housing, and transportation come, we know that we did not demonstrate things. No, we demonstrated the Spirit of God, and that took form as the needed things. The Word of God takes form. Now, what is this Word of God? You know now, it's an awareness. When you go within and you have the awareness, you don't need prayer. These things happen. You drive up and there's the parking space. You didn't pray for it. You didn't even think of it. You just watched and there it was. You go to your mailbox and there's a check. You didn't pray for it. Somebody's sending you a gift of love. Who is sending that gift of love? Your consciousness, your inner awareness. God itself is forming itself, appearing to you as these forms. And so when you have the awareness, you no longer need prayer. He says, the word of God takes form. For Elijah, it took the form of food when he was in the wilderness. With Moses, it took the form of manna falling right out of the sky and water from a rock. With Jesus, it took the form of loaves and fishes. But don't make the mistake of trying to multiply loaves and fishes. Because then you're back in this world, and you're going to have some good and some evil. You're going to have mind forming itself. You're going to have mind over matter. Rise up into the mysticism of the message. The only demonstration there is must be the demonstration of the presence of God, the conscious awareness of omnipresence. That is what Moses, Elijah, and Jesus demonstrated. God, realization, takes the form of the things we have need of. All right, so we read in Beyond Words and Thoughts a few weeks ago that the infinite way is leading you to the ascension. And Joel says the ascension is always the same, that of rising above the mind into awareness. And so here, in the second chapter of Genesis, is the example where mind is forming itself, and Adam gives names to all these things, and some are good and some are evil, and Adam eats of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, and Adam falls asleep and sleeps and dreams of a separate existence, an existence outside of the Garden of Eden, an existence outside of consciousness forming itself. No, this Adam is dreaming a separate existence, sometimes good, mostly evil, and trying to change it. Well, when I get that person, I'll be okay, I'll feel okay. When I get that job, I'll be okay. Life will be good. When I get that raise, I'll be okay. If I could only find a little health, then I'll be okay. You're living in mind formations, also known as this world. But right here, right now, invisible to that mind, is the kingdom, the realm of the living omnipresence. And it will form itself if you can catch a glimpse of it. And so what must I do? I must rise above and out and behind of words and thoughts. I must follow the Master's commandment. Take no thought for your life. I must come to a place where I am so still that thought has stopped. And there in my inner temple in silence, waiting before the presence of God, this I standing at the door of consciousness and knocking flows into my being, and oh yes, there's that release, that blessed release. Omnipresence really is here. Thank you. Oh God, thank you for your presence. It's no place on earth is like that. That's home. That's home. Conscious awareness of thy presence, the living omnipresence, is home. I am home in thee and thou in me. And now, fulfill thyself. And look, here comes abundance. And look, here comes harmonious relationships. And look, here comes a life without pain. I have returned to the first chapter of Genesis. In the beginning, God created the heaven, single, and the earth. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. And God saw the light, that it was good. This is the experience of consciousness forming itself. Conscious awareness, the glimpse that you have of the kingdom, the glimpse that you have of omnipresence, and resting in it, is forming itself. And as Walter C. Lanyon says, it's wonderful. And it is. It is wonderful. And again, God said, "Let us make man in our image and likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and the fowl of the air, and the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth." Does that mean that God gave you power over people, places, and things? No. That means that you have dominion by standing a little to the side and bearing witness to consciousness expressing itself. You don't have dominion over the parking lot at Walmart by chasing someone off from a parking space and browbeating them and saying, "Get out of there, this is my space, I was here first." That's not dominion. That's world mind, trying to live by force, by might, and by power. No, you have dominion by this contact you make, by this glimpse you have, by the conscious awareness that you're living and moving and having your being in omnipresence. Then you get down there and the space is provided. Consciousness is forming itself. You are living in the kingdom of heaven. And God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. Very good. Now that's the first chapter of Genesis. Moses is telling us, you know, in the beginning, consciousness formed itself. And all was good. Until you decided you wanted a separate life. You can't have a separate life. There's no such thing. But I want it. Well, okay, but you're going to have to go to sleep and dream it, because there is no such thing. Fine. I will go to sleep and dream. I am Adam. And now, thousands of years later, you're growing tired of that. Here comes the Master, who has attained conscious awareness of omnipresence. He's so aware of God, he does not even need to pray. Harmony follows him and goes before him and prepares a place for him. And he says unto you, "Adam, wake up. Wake up. Stop trying to get God to improve your human life. You can't pull God into your humanhood. Stop. Just stop." And if you're at that place where you're ready to go beyond the metaphysics of trying to practice mind over matter, principles over matter, then you're at that place where, well, let's see, how does Joel say it again in the New Horizon? He describes consciousness forming itself like this. The experience at first is like watching the world disappear over a horizon and drop down from before us. There's no attachment to the world, no desire to hold on to it, probably because, to a great extent, the experience does not come until a great measure of our desire for the things of this world has been overcome. And so the experience doesn't come until you reach that place where you're saying, "I don't want to practice metaphysics anymore. I don't want to practice mind over matter. I am tired. I don't want this sometimes good, sometimes evil. I don't want to live out my days in this world and then die. What kind of living is that? It's a nightmare. That dream is a nightmare. I want to awaken. I'm ready to let that go." I'm ready to let go of all desires for things of this world. Now, if you're there, you're ready for the mystical life. You're ready to accept the ascension over mind into conscious awareness of the living omnipresence. And at first, he says, you can't even speak of it, because when you have that conscious awareness, there's a sense of, "Touch me not, I have not yet ascended. I'm still between two worlds. Do not make me speak about it, because it may drag me back. Let me be free to rise, and then, when I am completely free of mesmerism, or the mind and its pictures, I will be resting in the sea of spirit, in the conscious awareness of the living omnipresence, and I will tell you of many things which eyes have not seen, nor ears heard. Yes. And so what does he say this is? He says, behind or above this sense life, this mind, there's a universe of spirit governed by love, peopled with children of God, living in the household or temple of truth. And this world is real, permanent. Its substance is eternal consciousness, and there's no awareness of discords or even temporary good. So you see, we've known right from the very first book, but perhaps we didn't have the depth of realization that we have today. But we've known, and we know now, surely, beyond any reasonable doubt, that the time for ascension has come. And for those of you who have been practicing living in the divine life and living in those principles, you know. We are not here to experience greater good. We are not here even to have healings. Do they come? Does it come? Yes, of course. Because when the light flows, it dissolves the darkness. But no prayer is required. What's required is awareness, conscious awareness. I love the way Joel put it in The Art of Spiritual Healing. It's just so perfect. Here is the experience again of Genesis 1. He says, you carry this out in practice by standing still, by watching the stone being formed in and of your consciousness, while you stand to one side as a witness or a beholder. And eventually a state of peace will come, and you will catch a glimpse of God as is. Not a power over anything, just God is. You begin to understand no power does anything to anyone. You become a beholder as reality begins to appear. You see, it begins to appear. You're not making something happen. You're not pulling God into your life. You're standing so still that the mind is no longer functioning. Consciousness now functions and reveals itself and its harmony. All problems fade out in proportion as you develop this ability to be quiet, to behold, to witness divine harmony unfold. The principle behind this process is that, now listen clearly, the principle is that inasmuch as the activity of the human mind is the substance and activity of hypnotism, when the human mind is not functioning, there's no more hypnotism. When you are not thinking words or thoughts, when you are in a stillness, the human mind is stopped. Hypnotism is gone. When you really experience this, you will feel something which transcends the human dimension of life. It has to do with realizing a spiritual presence right where I am. So I am going to be silent and let that realization take place. You see that? You stand to one side and watch consciousness forming itself. It's beautiful. It's wonderful. It's the first chapter of Genesis. It's God itself. It's your inner conscious awareness. Your conscious awareness is God. And so you can either have mind forming itself, and the duality and dichotomy of all the mind's thoughts and words, and a constant trying to change good and change evil into good, or you can drop all that and say, no more, not for me, I'm done with that. I'm not going to seek to change the material world ever again. No more. I let it drop down from before me. I stand so still that in the silence of no thought and no words, I can become aware, slowly, quietly, of consciousness forming itself, of a temple not made by mind, a temple made by consciousness, eternal in the heavens. I can become aware of omnipresence. And with the awareness, I rest. No prayer is needed. No words, no thoughts. I simply rest. I stand to one side. I behold. I bear witness. I'm just being. And it is good. And good appears. Suddenly there's harmony where there was discord. There's health and life where there was pain. There's abundance where there was lack. Does that mean I've manipulated this world? No. It means I've dropped this world, and I'm seeing through the conscious awareness, I'm seeing that original God consciousness forming itself and declaring it is good. And I'm seeing that all that that consciousness has is mine, without even asking. No prayer is needed. When I have the awareness, no prayer is needed. It is wonderful. It's out of this world. And this consciousness that doesn't need to pray because of the conscious awareness of the living omnipresence, this consciousness is able to say, what death? There's no death. Lazarus, come forth. Loose him and let him go. And he that was dead came forth. And then many of the Jews which came to Mary and had seen these things finally believed. That's another principle, isn't it? Neither will they be convinced, though one rose from the dead. No, really the conviction and the convincing takes place when you catch that glimpse of omnipresence. Now, in the 1 Corinthians 15:51, Paul, who has experienced this, remember on the road to Damascus? He must have been in a deep meditation. He must have risen above thoughts because the Christ experience came. And what did it do? It blinded him to this world. But it awakened him to omnipresence. And because he had had that experience, he's able to say to all of us, behold. That's one word right there. Be a beholder. And I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. But now you understand, don't you? All of you. And now I understand. I cannot add immortality to mortality. No, the mortal must be so silent that it disappears in order that I can catch a glimpse of immortality. And in the twinkling of an eye, the dead are raised up. That's every atom that is asleep is dead. Dead to the conscious awareness. And that's why they're living through this tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Sometimes good, sometimes evil, sometimes evil, sometimes good. Over and over and over. And so they're dead. They're dead to omnipresence. But when we learn to be beholders, we are raised. We are raised out of the deadness of world thought, concepts forming itself, world mind. We are raised above that. We ascend, and we are changed, and we experience our very own true identity. That which is incorruptible, that which is immortal. We experience immortality, the conscious awareness of omnipresence, the conscious awareness of immortality, our immortal being. We catch a glimpse of it, we rest back in it, we behold it, we witness it, we stand still and see. And immortality flows through our being as our being. We commune with it. We are one. I and my immortality are one. I and my Father are one. I and my Source are one. I and my conscious awareness are one. I and my consciousness are one. You have one Father, your very own consciousness, and I rest in it. And there's a release. Thank you, Father, for your omnipresence. That's all I ever need. Your omnipresence realized, felt. All I ever need is to feel your omnipresence and to rest in it. Sometimes in deep meditation, sometimes while having a piece of apple pie, sometimes while looking for a parking place at Walmart or Sears or Best Buy. But always I know that the real goal is not to improve humanhood. The real goal is to let humanhood drop away. If only for a moment, let it drop away over the horizon. And let me be still enough inside, without words, without thoughts, to catch a glimpse of this living omnipresence called I, called God, called the Father, many names. Names are not important. Awareness is everything. And so I don't care what you call it, but in your spirit, you are worshiping correctly. In your silence, and silence is an absence of self, in your silence, you can bear witness. I, within you, your very own Father within, your Source, your consciousness, your conscious awareness of my omnipresence is your supply. It is your companionship. It is your life, your health, your living. It is your all in all. When you allow it to flow. When you stand aside or rise above or step out of the mind and its formations, and you let them fall away into the nothingness that they are, then your conscious awareness flows, and it appears as form, forms of harmony, forms of beauty, forms of love, forms of gratitude. And you sit on that bus bench, and you see the one sitting next to you, and you know you're in the kingdom. And so you help lift him or her. You know, too, the reality of them is the same presence. And they won't know why, but they'll feel better. They'll have a better second half of their day. Or they may come into a realization that totally changes the direction of their lives, and they'll never know where that came from. But when you are a silent vessel of awareness, and this omnipresence flows through, it touches and changes things to be closer and closer to its image and likeness. And it's beautiful, it's wonderful, it's heaven on earth. Well, I hadn't intended on making a talk today, but I got up like every morning and I had my cup of coffee and fed the cat, sat in my meditation chair and had a meditation, and that's what came. When you have the awareness, you don't need to pray. Think of that. Think of a life where you never, ever, ever have to pray again. And yet, a life in which you are consciously praying, continuously praying by being aware. Prayer now becomes your awareness, not any words or thoughts, just your awareness of the isness of God. Of God ising. It's wonderful. Such a peaceful way to live. And we meet everything in life with this awareness. And we know that if we begin to get wrapped up in the errands and tasks for today, and the work involved in today, and we know if we start dropping down into that mind, we know it, we can feel it. There's a disturbance. Uh-oh, I'm seeking good again. Therefore, we are instructed by Joel, and he lived this way. We're instructed to do this several times a day, not to take hour-long meditations, because when you have the awareness, you don't need to pray, but to take little 1 and 2 minute pauses where we can drop this mind and stand still and become aware of omnipresence again. Just making, sometimes it's as short as an eye blink, in the twinkling of an eye, we put on immortality again. Ah, thank you, Father. Thank you, Christ. Thank you, I. Thank you, consciousness. Thank you. I am. It is. Wonderful. And I feel that presence now flowing through my body, my being. And I will never know who it's touching, but I know it's touching someone out there because I feel it. And it's never just for one, it's always for all. So blessings flow to you and through you back. And in him we live and move and have our being. Stop all this praying. Learn to be still, and let the conscious awareness of omnipresence flood your being. And live in the first chapter of Genesis, in the very Garden of Eden, where the Father forms your universe, and you live and move and have your being in the conscious awareness of omnipresence. And there's no place like home. Blessings.